Good morning, 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. It's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health, and we welcome back from her long mission of national importance, Laura Turbide. Welcome. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Ted. It's so great to be back.
We love having Kimberly, but we know also that she's kind of nervous about talking on the radio, and it's not her favorite thing to do.
I want to say
shout
out to Kimberly Iwakwa, who has been in my absence doing a fantastic job. So I just want to say thanks to Kim. She is on a well-deserved break right now, but we are grateful that she was able to come, and I'm back. I had jury duty, learned a lot about the judicial system and our community, so I have had 3 months of jury duty, and I wasn't sort of here, but I'm back and very, very excited that my first guest back is someone who I just love working with so much, and I know all of you, anyone who knows her and who's ever worked with her knows how lucky we are to have her in our community. So today I'm here with Rhonda Solomon. She is a family nurse practitioner who has worked at Life Care for many, many years, but also is a certified diabetes educator, has her master's in nursing, and she also has board certification advanced diabetes management. And it is Defeat Diabetes Month. And big, big part of her practice now, nearly 100% of what she's doing, is really focused on working with people to help manage diabetes, which, as we know, is a very very chronic disease, but also one that has the potential where you can actually hopefully be an advocate for yourself and play an important role in helping manage that disease for yourself, but also one that obviously is a dangerous disease if not managed properly. So we're very, very lucky to have her skills in our community, and she's been working with patients one-on-one and in groups, and it is Defeat Diabetes Month, so it seemed like the perfect time to get here with our diabetes warrior. So we're going to talk a little bit about what Rhonda's been doing and how people can take advantage of it.
Rhonda, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now, it didn't ring a bell. Is Defeat Diabetes Month relatively new?
No, I think that it's been celebrated for many years. I think that over the past, 20 years, diabetes has become, there's a lot more awareness about diabetes. And so you'll see, I think, advertised a little bit more now.
We used to see November, too, as Diabetes National Diabetes Month, okay. And I think it still is. So I think it's just become more and more of a concern where we need more than 1 month to help combat this serious issue.
Well, let's define type 1, type 2, juvenile onset, the various types of diabetes.
Type 1 diabetes is typically diagnosed when people are young, when they're children, but it can be diagnosed in adulthood, and it's really characterized by the complete absence of insulin production. So it's an autoimmune disease in which the body destroys the cells in your pancreas and you can't produce any insulin. People with type 1 diabetes automatically go on insulin replacement, and they have to for life or else it will be fatal. Type 2 diabetes is more of a metabolic disorder, and people typically in the early stages, they produce insulin but not enough, and they have trouble using the insulin they do make. We call that insulin resistance. Most people with type 2 diabetes can take oral medicines for years, and it is a progressive disease, so they may progress to using insulin to control their disease.
So I was going to ask, but I think I know the answer. Is type 2 reversible at all, or once you have it, is it a case of simply managing it and trying to limit what it does?
Type 2 diabetes can be reversible with lifestyle modification, and the comorbidities associated with diabetes are 70% of the time reversible if people can adapt lifestyle changes.
Now, I know when I was younger, people always said, oh, diabetes, that means you eat too much sugar. But, I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. What causes the pancreas to shut down that insulin production?
Well, in type 2 diabetes, that's kind of a very complex question. Every body system has something to do with that. The core defects of diabetes are based on your brain. Based on hormone production, certainly your muscle cells, fat cells, genetics. Certain medications can, stimulate the overproduction of sugar and cause pancreatic fatigue. So a lot of areas of the body can contribute to the onset of diabetes, as well as, environment and genetics.
And I think what people sometimes didn't realize in the past is how correlated and how much higher risk you are if you have diabetes and you're living with diabetes. If you're working with someone like Rhonda and you're managing it well, you really can reduce your risk for things like the high risk of stroke, the high risk that people have ultimately for cardiovascular disease in general. There's a lot of things that end up going sort of along with the chronic disease of managing your diabetes. So certainly, obviously, we know that as, and I say this as someone who doesn't eat as well as I should, don't exercise the way you need to. There are a lot of lifestyle and behavior changes that people can make, and or even small changes that people can make in once they've either been diagnosed maybe with pre-diabetes or a metabolic condition that can lead to diabetes. Those are the kinds of things where that's the point where we really want to be talking to people. Let's not wait until we actually have someone living with a chronic disease, but let's address people on sort of a preventive approach, either to prevent diabetes by having a more active, healthy lifestyle, or more importantly, if your doctor is beginning to notice that, or you're beginning to notice certain signs, we can talk about some of those early signs, everything from frequent urination to a whole host of things that just might tip you off that you're not feeling 100%. But what's interesting is it can be kind of invisible, right, Rhonda? I mean, people can live with pre-diabetes and then obviously be diabetic without knowing it for a long time because it can be kind of hidden.
I was going to say, I want to get into some of those details, but before I forget, what is the connection between foot problems and diabetes?
Well, diabetes affects your body from your head to your toes. It affects anywhere that blood goes, and in particular, your feet are affected because sugar can affect the nerves and the vasculature in your feet. So without good sugar control, people can have that response in their feet and develop severe pain that's very debilitating.
So now, what is pre-diabetes, and if you diagnose that, what can we do to stop it from becoming diabetes full-blown?
Mm-hmm. Pre-diabetes is, we also use the term impaired fasting glucose. So people may have a high sugar at some point, and it's showing signs that your pancreas may not be able to keep up with insulin production. As far as diagnosing it, it's a fasting glucose above 110 or an average sugar or hemoglobin A1C that's between 5.7 and 6.4. As far as treating it at that stage, we do start medications earlier. A medication called metformin that's been around since the 1920s is very effective in helping people prevent the onset of type 2 diabetes and also certainly lifestyle modification.
So let's talk about some of the things that you do when you work with patients. What kinds of counsel do you give them, and what kinds of programs are there to stop diabetes from happening or to at least manage it if you do have it?
Because of the complexity of the disease, it's important for diabetes to be addressed with a team approach. I work at the Finger Lakes Health Diabetes Care Center, and the center was really developed to assist physicians in the area to help people get better control of their diabetes. And at the center, we have 2 registered dietitians, 2 registered nurses, and myself, and we all take different parts in helping to address the diseases. My role is more medical management. I'm also certified in diabetes education, and so I assist with behavior modification and talking about nutrition and diabetes self-care. But my co-workers or my team members really have specific areas that they will help with also. We have Christina Ganzon, who's a registered dietitian in our program, and she really focuses on medical nutrition therapy and weight loss. She also does some carb counting. We have Amanda Tortolette, who is a registered dietitian that focuses on diabetes education and the 7 core
aspects of
diabetes, such as healthy eating, being active, monitoring your sugars, problem solving, healthy coping, and reducing risk factors.
In terms of diet, like I said, I mean, sugar is the thing people most associate, but mm-hmm. what should we be doing diet-wise to hopefully not get diabetes?
Certainly a reduced carbohydrate and reduced fat diet is, you know, the focus. But I tell people in general, take us back 30 years ago when we normally ate balanced. You know, there we didn't have the 14 aisles in between the produce and the dairy. and stay on the outside of the grocery store. Your produce should come from the produce department. Your meat should come from the meat department and not the freezer, and then low-fat dairy.
Now, you mentioned blood glucose management. I know there have been some advancements in that over the years, so there's some less invasive ways now. Do you still have to stick yourself every day multiple times?
Yes, checking sugar is definitely most accurate using capillary blood in your fingers. There is a lot of technology that's being researched currently, but the FDA hasn't approved anything else at this point. And so I think every diabetic watches that research waiting.
I think it's so important to know, too, that there's a chance to work both individually with people as well as in groups. And one of the things, speaking of the blood sugar testing, as well as even things like insulin pumps that people use, that it really takes a specialized person to understand what these levels are, what small changes, both metabolically, activity-wise. There's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all solution for people. And that's why this individualized care that happens through the Diabetes Care Center is so important, because they can sit down, work with you on a very specific plan, whether it's planning ahead for a special event or a special meal, whether it's planning in terms of knowing certain days of the week you get more activity than others, how do you manage that? And I think sometimes it seems like such a mystery to people, and I have no doubt when people first get this diagnosis, they probably feel a little overwhelmed, truthfully. It's a lot to think about and a lot that you're sort of self-managing, but to know that you don't have to do it alone, I think, and to know that you really can reach out and have these resources, I probably shouldn't say this too much on the radio, but I know Rhonda's given her phone number out to people. Her cell phone has worked with people to say, call if you have these questions about your medication, et cetera, or if your pumps or other kinds of things. So it's the kind of individualized support that I think is just can make living with this become just part of your life and something that you can work with and really still be healthy, maintain your health while also working to live with diabetes.
Absolutely. Diabetes should be focused on the individual person's needs. And so that's my philosophy. Teach people what they need to know.
Can you coach a diabetic in terms of how they feel? Can they tell when their blood sugar might be a little bit out of whack, or is that still just best done by testing and getting the number?
Well, feeling your blood sugars is actually a sign of health, but I never advise people to rely on how you feel. People with type 2 diabetes can have the disease up to 6 years before they're diagnosed. And so feeling well or not feeling the effects of diabetes is very misleading. It's very important to test. And if you're someone who's at risk, to see your doctor on a regular basis and make sure that you're monitored for the development of prediabetes or diabetes.
I know weight is one of those risk factors. What are some of the others?
A family history, for sure. Certainly lifestyle, environment, smoking, of course. I would say that most people that I see at the Diabetes Center definitely have a family history of diabetes, and they know they come with some knowledge about the disease.
Do you know, is there any hope of an artificial pancreas or something at some point that would produce insulin that would allow a diabetic to lead a more normal life and not have to pick their fingers every day?
Well, I think that pump management is probably the closest technology that we'll see in our lifetime. Certainly, a lot of the pump companies, including Medtronic, are coming out with new pumps that kind of mimic pancreatic production of insulin. And so there's less adjustments made by providers in insulin management, and the pump does a lot itself. So it can even monitor blood sugars through a glucose sensor and, you know, notify the person with diabetes. And also text messages can be sent to family members or neighbors to alert that a blood sugar is, you know, dropping too low.
Well, thanks for sharing this information with us, and thanks for what you do. It's great to have your own individual coach that can help you through this big change in lifestyle for a lot of people, and thanks for sharing it with us today.
You're welcome. It's good to be here, and I'm glad to raise awareness for diabetes.
All right, Laura, thank you as always.
Thank you. And they're located at 293 North Street, so that's really important to think about. It's sort of diagonal from the hospital, the former Interlakes Orthopedic Office. And you can also get information on our website about how to call. Thank you so much.
That's FLHealth.org. Glad to have you back. It's 8:53 now on the Finger Lakes Morning News.